Welcome to the Marriage Counselor's Corner. Right this way. Your therapist will see you shortly. In the meantime, sit back, kick your feet up on the couch, and get ready to focus on adding very valuable tools to your marriage toolkit. And now your host and marriage counselor, David Taylor.
Hello, hello. What's up, guys? My name is David Taylor, and I am your host. Welcome to another information-packed episode of the Marriage Counselor's Corner. And if you are new to this place, if you're new to the couch, if you're new to this podcast, well, sit back because you are in for a treat. Now, this podcast, the Marriage Counselor's Corner podcast, is a place where you can get credible and tangible marriage-related information from a licensed mental health counselor. And over the past 19 years of my clinical experience, I have discovered some things. I've been in the booth. I've been on the front line. I've been researching. I've been studying. I've been reading. I've been writing. I've been working with clients. And I've discovered some things that work to make your marriage healthy. So I want you to see these episodes as a masterclass in marriage, where I take a psychological and practical approach to marriage education and enrichment. And this is episode number 11. And in today's session, I'm going to be discussing another topic that is very crucial to the health of your marriage. And today's topic is one that on the surface may seem like it has nothing to do with marriage, but don't be fooled, okay? Pay attention. This subject is actually something that I have been intimately studying since about 2006, and I feel that I still have barely figured this out. Just scratching the surface. I got some stuff, but there's a lot more to discover. So I'm going to give you a taste of what I've discovered, just a taste. As a matter of fact, this episode will be split up into two parts so that I can let this information breathe without cramming it all into one episode. Because y'all know I can give you a 45, 50 minute episode and it's a lot of stuff. And then you're going to listen to the episode and then you're going to go about your business and you're going to forget about it. So I'm going to let this breathe a little bit. I'm going to try to stick with about 30, maybe 35 minutes max. So I'll do 30 minutes in this episode and then hopefully 30 minutes in the next episode. And that'll be my goal for these next two. But this is going to be a part one and a part two. And the topic that I'm going to be discussing is important. It's very crucial. It's very important. And here's what I'm going to be discussing today. Discovering your purpose in life while being married. Yep, that's right. We're talking about purpose, life purpose. And again, this subject may not seem like it is something that a marriage counselor would be discussing, but I want y'all to hear me out. I want y'all to go on this journey with me for a few minutes because this is important. And now, before I go deeper, let me put out this disclaimer that this episode will focus more on you, the individual, the spouse, than it will on your marriage. Now, I'll interject marriage, of course, because this is a marriage podcast, but this particular topic is going to be more so focused on you. And so this is where I get to kind of geek out a little bit because I really, really enjoy discussing life purpose. Like if I could talk about this for a living, if this was my assignment, oh my gosh, I'd be like on cloud nine every day. Every day. But instead, I know I can't. So this is where I get to kind of nerd out in this episode. And this is going to focus on the big picture of life. So I'm not going to focus on a lot of the small nuances like reading body language and communicating effectively and, you know, conflict resolution and things like that. I'm not going to focus on those things. I'm going to focus on more broader constructs. So make sure to take some notes. Make sure to jot down what comes to mind. If you have any questions, any epiphanies, just jot it down because this is where I get to just like, I get to stretch. I get to spread my wings a little bit. So let me start by echoing a statement that the late, great Dr. Miles Monroe would often say. So he would say this statement here. He would say, "The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life without a purpose." The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life without a purpose. We'll let that one breathe a little bit. Because if you think about it, this statement is packed full of wisdom. And that's why today I'm going to be talking about purpose, life purpose. See, I've found that a lot of times people get married and they either lose sight of their purpose or they lack it altogether. Like they don't even focus on it. They get so consumed with being a husband, a wife, mom, dad, providing for the family, raising the kids. They get so caught up in that process and those roles that they completely overlook the fact that they still have a purpose to live out. Not only that, but I've often found, especially in 2024, we can be so distracted, so caught up in the drama of life, the things that's going on around us, social media, news, the issues, concerns, what everybody else got going on. We can get so caught up in all that and be in our own negative thoughts that we actually lack the inner peace. And research has shown that the average person thinks about 1,500 words per minute. So imagine that. A minute is 60 seconds. So in that 60 seconds, you have about 1,500 words, 1,500 words just going on in your brain. Think about how much or the lack of inner peace that one has because we're just so distracted. And oh, don't even bring up phones and social media, right? Now you can distract yourself by scrolling. Listen, and this is one of the most frustrating things that I see. And I can't say anything about it, of course, because it ain't my business, but I still can sit back and be like, man, I don't like this. So like, very rarely do I see people walk their dogs without scrolling on their phone at the same time. Like I see people walking their dogs in our neighborhood and they will have their phones and they're scrolling. Now, okay, if you got business, do your business. But I see people walking their dogs outside in nature, in the sunshine, with the breeze, and they're facing the phone. And I'm like, imagine how distracted we are. And then we have these cell phones. Heck, I can't even sit on the toilet by myself without my phone. So I'm not judging nobody because I'm guilty of it as well. And I will sit on that toilet till my legs go numb, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I'm just there looking, reading. You know, now, thankfully, I try to make sure that I'm reading. Like I have books on my phone. Before I go to bed, I'm reading. So if you see me on my phone, there's probably I don't know, 30, 40% chance I'm on social media. The other 60 to 70%, I'm actually doing something constructive, but I'm still on my phone, so I could do better. But the point is, we're bombarded with information and images and videos and content, so much so that we lack inner peace. We just don't have it. And when you don't have inner peace, it's hard for you to have clarity. And when you don't have clarity, it's hard for you to see your purpose, to even find your purpose. As a matter of fact, you won't even have the energy to start the process because all of your energy has either been consumed with social media or consumed with your job, or you're trying to get all the business parts of your life in order. And I've also found that your marriage is only as strong as its weakest link. Okay. Now I'm not saying you weak. I'm not saying your spouse is weak. What I'm saying is it's only as strong as the weakest link. If you are married, but you don't know your purpose, guess what you're doing? You're severely handicapping the growth, the potential growth and success of your marriage. Again, your marriage is only as strong as its weakest link. So if you're pursuing yours, but your spouse ain't, guess what? That's going to impact the trajectory of your marriage. That's going to impact how successful your marriage can be. And so it would behoove you and your spouse, both of y'all, to really take some time to focus on finding your purpose. Most people don't know it. See, the Bible says it this way. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, right? That's in Hosea 4:6. And I was actually just in a premarital counseling session earlier today with a young couple. And that's the main thing I told them. I said, listen, the number one reason that marriages fail is not infidelity, it's not conflict resolution or the lack thereof, it's not communication, it's not intimacy or sex, it's ignorance. Most marriages fail because of ignorance. But to go a step deeper, most people never find their purpose because of ignorance. And when I say the word ignorant, please don't get offended. Ignorance just means you lack knowledge. You lack information. You lack light. Okay? I'm not calling you stupid unless you are. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But the point is, wherever you are being destroyed in your life, it is most likely because of a lack of knowledge in that area. Okay? So if your health is struggling, most likely it's because of a lack of knowledge. It's because of ignorance. See, most people blame the devil. They blame sin for their setbacks in life. But actually, if we're honest, if we're being objective, ignorance is your greatest enemy. And it is very easy to hide the truth from ignorant people, right? Which is why we blame the devil, because the devil is really good at, or the accuser, whatever you want to call this entity, this person, this thing, this spirit, this force that we're in opposition with, right? It's really easy for the enemy to hide the truth. And the enemy doesn't even have to lie to you. The enemy just has to keep you busy, keep you distracted, keep you preoccupied with what's going on, I don't know, Love at First Sight or Hollywood Wives of Basketball Wives, whatever it's called. Right? The enemy knows, just get you distracted. And you will remain in ignorance or in darkness. This is the reason why, soon as Jesus was baptized, see, today we're going to have a little bit of a different type of session, okay? Y'all, we're just going to go there a little bit. But this is why when Jesus was baptized, after he was baptized, he immediately went on a fast, and he immediately went into the wilderness to be tempted, right? He had to separate himself from the distractions, from the luxuries. He had to go and fast and deplete himself and really get into a place where his mind was connected with God and not with the distractions that he was being tempted by. Okay? Now, I'm not going to stay there too much, but just understand that it's important because it's easy to hide the truth from ignorant people. Let me ask you this question. Because Miles Monroe, I love Miles Monroe. I wish I could have met him before him and his wife passed. I really wish I could have met him. But I borrowed from him. So he would ask this question. He would say, where on earth is the accumulation of the most wealth? And he would say, it's not the Taj Mahal. It's not the banks. It's not the schools or the universities. It's not the churches. It's not home. Home is where your heart is, right? It's not none of that. He says that the places on earth that has the accumulation of the most wealth are the graveyards. Yes, the cemeteries. And not because people are buried in expensive coffins with jewelry and money in their pockets. What he says is that most people die where they live their lives, never having fulfilled their purpose, and then they die and they take all of their purpose and potential to the grave with them, right? And the grave will never return on that investment. It will never give you a return on what you put in the grave. Once it's in there, right? And he goes on to say that there are a lot of people, most people will live their entire life, never find what their purpose is and therefore never fulfill it. And then they take that with them into the grave. Think of your purpose like an apple seed. And an apple seed, this is the beauty of God's creation, right? And this is why I get so excited about it. Like an apple seed. When I used to go and do these speaking events, I would have a plastic bag, one of those little plastic bags with apple seeds. I would have about 5 apple seeds in my hand or in the bag. And what I would do is I would take one out and I would just pass it around to the group. And I would say, listen, tell me, what do you see when you see this thing, this seed? And they would describe it. They would say it's brown. It looks like a piece of wood. It's small. There's really not much character to it other than what it looks like, how small it is. And I'll say, let's say I cut it in half. What's going to be on the inside of it? And they would say, nothing, more of the same. Then I say, well, imagine if this actually isn't what you think it is, right? This apple seed, yes, it is a seed, but it also is so much more. This apple seed is the definition of unlimited potential. Literally, you are holding billions of apples in your hand with this one seed. Because if you think about it, you plant the seed produces a tree. on that tree produces more fruit. And in each of those apples will produce more seeds. And all you have to do is plant those seeds and it will repeat itself. The purpose of the seed is tethered to its potential. But all of it comes prepackaged. The seed never needs to go anywhere else to find its purpose. It only needs to go as far as the environment that's conducive for expressing it. And so most people will live their life in an opportunity to be planted, but they'll never put themselves in a position or they'll never get planted. And thus, once they die, they take their seed with them to the grave. And this type of seed, your seed of potential and purpose, will never replicate once it's gone, once you're gone. Once the host is gone, it can't replicate. Whereas an apple seed, you can put it in a jar for 1,000 years. Once it hits that dirt and you get the little sunshine and a little water, the right conditions, it'll still grow. Your seed won't if you don't exhaust it before your time is up here. And that's what he says, like, you go and you mine, if you could mine the graveyard, you would find, creations and inventions and cures and innovative things and artwork and businesses and all kinds of things that the world needs, solutions to the world's problems that most people have, but because they never took the time to fulfill it, the world will never feel it. You see what I did with the wordplay? Feel. Okay, anyway, you get the point. And so I love that because he says he would often get sad when he would drive by a graveyard because he knows that the people in those graves or the bodies in those graves will never have a chance to fulfill their purpose. And so he says the greatest tragedy of life is not death, but life without a purpose. See, this is the beauty of it. And so, again, if you're dealing with an area of struggle, most likely it's because of ignorance. And you have to take the time to really expand your knowledge base to find what your purpose is. So let me go a little step further. Let me give you some stats, okay? Let me give you some information about some people that y'all know. These are names that you will recognize. And this will have something to do with what I say next, but it will connect with this concept of purpose. So let me introduce you guys to Halle Berry. Y'all know who Halle Berry is, right? She's an actress. She's been in the industry for years, decades. And Halle Berry is worth $171 per minute because of who she is. Think of that now. $171 per minute because of who she is. That's a lot of money, right? For 1 minute, that's a lot. Some of you guys make that amount in 3 hours or 1 hour. Some of you guys make that in four. But she is worth that in one minute of her time is worth that. But I'm not going to stop there. Let me go a step further because these numbers will blow your mind. Tiger Woods. Y'all know who Tiger Woods is, right? He's a golfer. You know, some will call him the GOAT. Tiger Woods is worth $1,901 per minute because of what he does. So if Halle Berry is worth $171 per minute because of who she is, an actress, Tiger Woods is worth $1,901 per minute because of what he does. That's a different distinction. That's a distinction, who you are and what you do. But hey, let's not stop there. Let's go even further. Let me introduce you to Steven Spielberg. Y'all know who he is, right? He's a director. He does a lot in the film industry in Hollywood. Well, he is worth about $9,123 per minute because of what he gets others to do. So Halle Berry, $171 per minute because of who she is. Tiger Woods, $1,901 because of what he does. Steven Spielberg, $9,123 because of what he gets others to do, right? Are you seeing the sequence? Who you are, what you do, what you get others to do. But let me not stop there. Let me give you one more name. And this name everybody will recognize because if you are in the computing industry or if you have a computer in the word processing industry, you will inevitably use his stuff. Bill Gates. Y'all know who Bill Gates is. I don't even have to tell you what he does and what who he works for. But Bill Gates, the billionaire, is worth $24,124 per minute. Per minute. Because of what he has the world doing. So one person is valuable because of who she is. One person is valuable because of what he does. Another person is valuable because of what he gets others to do. And this guy, this dude, Bill Gates, $24,124 because per minute because of what he has the world doing. That's crazy. Fascinating. Okay? Now, why is this important? Well, let me ask you a few questions. Let me ask you three questions. Who are you? What are you doing? And what do you have the world doing? Now, I know these, like I said earlier, these are broad, expansive questions. These are large questions. Most of y'all ain't even thinking about having the world do nothing because y'all just trying to make ends meet. Y'all just trying to make it to the weekend. The week just started. Let me just make it to Friday. I don't have time to think about the world, you know, because I got to get the groceries. I got to pick the kids up from soccer practice. I got to make sure that the house is clean, the carpet or the dogs or like, y'all so busy focusing on the business aspects of your life that most of us, we aren't even thinking about, well, who am I and what am I doing and what do I have others or the world doing? See, the quality of your life is determined by the value of your time. The only way to truly understand the value of your time is to know your purpose and to pursue your purpose. See, I'll say it this way. Some of you guys have been married for years, decades, and your marriage is still struggling because you have not found your purpose. Some of you guys are wrestling with an issue, dealing with it. You're so caught up in the issues of life that you haven't even found your purpose. And guess what happens? The apple seed will always struggle when it's not in its element. You put an apple seed in its element, in the soil, let the sun and the rain and all that do what it's designed to do, and that apple seed will no longer struggle. It will do exactly what it's designed to do. Put an eagle in a cage and it will struggle. This is why I don't really like going to zoos. Unless I know it's a rehabilitation where they're rehabbing these animals. But if it's just a zoo where you got eagles and animals there, like I know one, they got a rhino here in Florida. Why we got a rhino in a zoo? Unless, again, they're rehabbing it. But anything that's not in its element, it's by default not going to fulfill its purpose. The eagle is not designed to be in a cage. The eagle is designed to fly high. It flies the highest of any bird. That's what it's designed to do. We are all created to live life with a meaning. And I believe that because we get so distracted, because no one is really teaching us this in middle and high school and even in college. We're taught what they think we need to learn. And so nobody's talking about purpose. Nobody talks about that. So then we get married, and because we're ignorant of our purpose, we get married and then we contaminate our marriage with our ignorance. And let me tell you guys something. Ignorance of purpose doesn't cancel purpose. Just because you guys don't know it don't mean it's not there. It just means you don't know it. Okay? So let me give you six questions that I want you guys to think about. Six questions. And guess what? I'm going to try to wrap up in like 5 minutes. I'm trying to stick to 30 minutes. Here are six questions that you absolutely must answer. And this will help you to not be ignorant. See, the beauty about a good question is that it compels you to find an answer. Often, finding the answer is based off of asking the question. A lot of times we don't have the answers because we don't ask the question. See, there's a Jewish proverb that says, "Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given." Right? Knock and the door will be open. So if you are pursuing knowledge by virtue of just asking questions, by default, you will be pointed in the direction of the answer. A lot of times we're just not asking questions. So let me give you these six questions. Number one is this: who am I? Now, this is a question of identity, right? The Bible says it this way, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? And so if my father never defined my identity for me, then by default, I'm forced to have to wear a mask. And that, y'all know my story. I used to wear a mask, and the mask became my identity, even though it was not my truth. Where am I from? This is a question of heritage. Now, this could be a literal, where am I from? Which, me, I don't know where I'm from. Like, I mean, I'm from the mean streets of South Bend, Indiana. But beyond that, I don't know what my lineage is. But there's also a spiritual component where you should know your heritage. Okay, where am I from? And remember, your heritage impacts your identity because you identify with where you're from. Read Miles Monroe's book, Rediscovering the Kingdom, if you really want to understand this principle, because trust me, this will take it a million miles deeper. But I'm just going to put that question out there right now. Where am I from? Don't get caught up with the literal, where geographically where I'm from. This is also a spiritual question, okay? Number three, why am I here? This is a question of purpose. Most people don't know why they exist, which is why they exist, they die, and then they take why they exist with them to the grave. And so if you don't know, then you're liable to live your life never fulfilling your purpose. Why am I here? Number four, what can I do? This is a question of potential. Again, potential is what you're capable of doing but haven't done yet. And God is only interested in your purpose and the potential that you have. This is why he packaged you with both. What can you do? So figure that question out. What can I do? Number five, where am I supposed to be right now? This is a question of assignment. See, you have an assignment where you get to fulfill part of your purpose by using your potential. But your assignment is not the same as your purpose. The purpose is the big umbrella. Your assignment is where you are at seasonally. Your assignment may change, and it most likely will change based off of the season. But your assignment will always be tethered to your purpose, and it will always require you to tap into your potential. Okay? Number six, where am I going? This is a question of destiny. And so, again, if you don't have direction, how can you lead? Husbands, I see you struggling the most because you guys don't know where you are going. You are journeying somewhere, but because you are lost, now you're leading your family, but you're also struggling to lead them to a destination because you don't know where you're going in your own individual life. And then you force your wife, not intentionally, but because of ignorance, you force your wife to have to do all the heavy lifting for you. I see this a lot, okay? So who am I? Where am I from? Why am I here? What can I do? Where am I supposed to be right now? And where am I going? See, God is only interested in your purpose and your potential. And he's interested in what you could do, but haven't done yet. See, God gave you potential to fulfill your purpose. And so those two things, that's all he's interested in, is your purpose and your potential, which is why he packaged your potential and your purpose in you. You just have to find your assignment, your place to be planted, and your purpose. See, think about it this way. God likes to hide things inside of things. See, in Proverbs 25:2, which is one of my most favorite scriptures, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search it out." This, if you think about this scripture, it is fascinating. It is amazing what the scripture is really trying to convey. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. Okay, so God receives glory when he hides things within the thing. So the apple tree is hidden inside the seed. The chair is hidden inside the tree. The car is hidden inside the rock. The shirt is hidden inside the cotton plant, right? I mean, think about this. It's fascinating if you think about it. But then the scripture also goes on to say, and the glory of kings to search it out. So it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search it out. Who's he referencing? He's referencing us, his royal lineage. We are glorified when we search out that which is hidden. So the apple is hidden in the seed. The tree is hidden in the apple. The chair is hidden in the tree. the house, it's hitting in the rocks, it's hitting in the tree, like all the things that, think about the phone that you're listening to, the computer that you're working on, the car that you're driving in, everything came hidden in something else. It's amazing. So much so that you even came hidden in something else, right? You were part of the sperm and the egg that came together and you came out of that, right? That union. And so your purpose, it's not going to be out in the front. It's going to be hidden and you got to search it out. But searching it out is part of the plan. It's part of the game. It's part of what glorifies you. It's when you find that thing that's hidden in you that God placed there. Okay? Oh, good stuff. See, he hid it inside of you. He hid your future inside of you. So you should never look outside of you to find that which is already placed inside of you. And most people look to their marriages, they look to their spouses, they look to their jobs, they look to their degrees, they look to the things that they, that's on the outside of them to find their purpose. When in reality, it's hidden inside of you. You just ain't looking enough. You ain't asking the right questions. So here's six strategies. And I know I said I'm going to be 30 minutes, but y'all know how it goes. Here are six strategies on how to understand your purpose while being married. Strategy number one. Oh, this is some good stuff, guys. This is good. Number one, God is a God of purpose. He never does anything without a reason. Everything that exists, exists for a purpose. Purpose. Okay. Look at me. I'm going ahead of myself. Number two, purpose is found in everything. Everything has a purpose. Ignorance doesn't annul purpose. So everything in life has a purpose, including you. Number three, not every purpose is known. Okay. We got to get used to just being okay with saying not every purpose is known because it's hidden. And we already understand that God hides things in things. Number four, when purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. See, if you don't know the purpose of a thing, you will most likely abuse it. And abuse, it's a compound word made up of two words, abnormal use, abnormal use, abuse. Whenever you abnormally use something, you're abusing it. If I have a screwdriver, no, let's say I have a butter knife and I don't understand how to use it and I use it to screw or unscrew something, sure, I may find some success in it, but I'm abnormally using the purpose of the knife. I'm abusing it, which means I'll never truly get the total benefit of using this thing unless I understand the purpose of it. Number five, if you want to know the purpose of a thing, never ask the thing. Okay, don't ask somebody else what your purpose is, because they won't know, especially if they don't even know theirs. Number six, the purpose of a thing is only found in the mind of the manufacturer. God, your manufacturer, your creator, knows your purpose. And so if you haven't been spending time figuring that out with him, then it's most likely the case that you're going to live in ignorance. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to have your life with your potential, with your purpose packed in you. One day you're going to die and you're going to contaminate the grave with your purpose. And there is no benefit. There's no benefit to humanity. If you've ever read this beautiful book called The Butterfly Effect, this idea will make more sense. Let me wrap up by adding this. You were born to solve a problem, a very specific problem. So never let the circumstances of your life deter you from finding your solution. But you were born with a solution. And you are God's response to a need that he knew would exist in your lifetime. So if you think about it, you are an answer to a question that God knew would be asked in this generation. So you got to carry yourself like you have an answer. You have a solution, because everybody is. We're all born with something. We just have ignorance. We're born with our solution and we're born with ignorance. And so let me stop here, because part two is going to take this and go a little deeper. It's just going to go a little bit deeper because there's a lot here. But I do want you just to understand that you were born with something that we need. Heck, you got something I need, and it ain't your money, right? There's a problem in my life that your solution will solve. Maybe there's a problem that I'm going to come up against in 10 years that I don't even know about, that if you don't stop sitting on your thumb and you can figure it out, then perhaps I'll find a solution to this problem that I don't know I'm going to have, but I will eventually have. And you got the solution. So stop being stingy. Stop being lazy. Okay. Give me your solution to solve my problem. And this is what I'm trying to do. Use my solution, or the solution that I have found, to solve your problem. So here's what I want you to do. I'm gonna wrap up here, and I'm going to give you an action item. And then we're going to come back in a week for part two. So the action item is this. I want you to take those six questions that I asked earlier, and I want you to answer all six of those questions. Come up with your answer. Okay. And you could email me, you can text me, you can message me if you have questions about these questions, or you just want to run those answers by me, right? Listen, I love talking about this stuff. I could talk about this stuff for hours. So hit me up if you have any questions, or you just want to share what you feel like you've come up with, or what you feel God has shared to you about these answers. So here are the six questions real quick, and then I'm going to wrap up. Number one, who am I? This is a question of identity. Number two, where am I from? This is a question of heritage. Number three, why am I here? This is a question of purpose. And again, number two, you can think geographically, but also I want you to think a little deeper about that question. Pick up Dr. Miles Monroe's book, Rediscovering the Kingdom, if you really want to understand that. Number three, why am I here? That's a question of purpose. Number four, what can I do? That's a question of potential. Number five, where am I supposed to be right now? This is a question of your assignment. And number six, where am I going? This is a question of destiny. Okay, so we're here. We're done. It's about 40 minutes in. So clearly, your boy don't know how to stick to 30 minutes. But I'm done for now. I'm gonna do part two in a week. And I just want to wrap up by saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me the space and the time to share what was on my heart. And I hope that focusing on discovering your purpose in life while being married will take you to the next level. I know it will, but you got to do the work. Okay. So I really appreciate you joining me this session at the Marriage Counselor's Corner. Join me for episode number 12, where we're going to do part two to this. So you're not going to want to miss it, because I'm going to take what we discussed today and go even deeper. So make sure that you are subscribed to this podcast. If you are not subscribing, I don't know what's going on, because you should be subscribed. And by the way, 90% of the listeners are iPhone users, which is bizarre, because I'm like, what is that saying about Android users? Because there are apps that you can download to subscribe to this podcast for free. Because I know iPhone users have a native app, the podcast app, that they can subscribe to, whereas Android users don't. So you can get Spotify, you can get you can go type in podcast app in the Android Play Store, Google Play Store, and you'll find a myriad of apps that you can download for free to subscribe. That way you're getting these episodes, you're not missing them, and I don't have to keep posting for y'all to see that I got a new episode, because you'll get the notification on your phone. So do me a favor, go and subscribe. Also, do me another favor. While you're there, please remember to leave me a rating and a review. I really appreciate it. I have over 630-something reviews, maybe 650-something, I don't know, something like that, on iTunes. Hit me up in Spotify. Give me some reviews there, y'all, so that this podcast can be seen by more people. Okay? Answer your question there. Okay? Anyways, I am done for now. On to the next one. Episode 12 is where I will do a part two to this. So be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, make sure you're sharing this with those, commenting on social media. And guys, I appreciate your time, your energy, your effort. Stay focused, stay strategic, and stay out of trouble. I'll see y'all in episode 12. Deuces.
Thanks for stopping by for your seat on the couch at the Marriage Counselor's Corner. Remember, go to marriagecounselorscorner.com to schedule your next session. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you never miss a session. We look forward to having you back on the couch soon. Bye-bye now.